Well, open your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 6. Just one verse this time, verse 15. Because we're talking about the pieces of the armor of God and the significance of putting these pieces on and having them on at all times. But when we look back, we say, well, we're talking now about the shoes of the gospel of peace. And we are Christians because God has saved us. And his manner of saving us was for us to hear the gospel of Christ. The Holy Spirit was active in every phase of our salvation, of every phase of our believing in him. We were convicted of our sins and death before God. And we were presented with the wonderful message of Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished at the cross. And we were told that faith is by, or that salvation is by faith in Christ, in the Son of God, and as our Savior. And so we ask God to save us in Christ. God, is there any way that you can save a sinner like me? So we come before God and we say, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Savior. Please save me. And the Bible says that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And it shall be, in another place it says, and it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So we cry out to God, in the name of Jesus Christ, please save us. And we're truly thankful that he does exactly that. He saves us. And we say, glory be to God. But then there's more. You say, well, what more? Well, the saved then are called to give the gospel message to others. God uses Christians to proclaim the good news of salvation of Christ. I always say to myself, you know, it would have been probably more effective if he would use angels to proclaim the gospel. But we say, you're going to use us, sinners saved by grace, to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's amazing. But we are to know the gospel message that saved us, and we are to be always prepared to give that message to others. Some will be just encouraged by the truth, and they'll say, well, I'm a Christian too. Thank you for giving me this gospel message. But some will be saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And some will be just held accountable because they say, no, thank you. I don't want that. But they've heard the gospel message. We're not responsible to save people. We are responsible to proclaim the gospel message. And may God help us with that most important ministry. But there's still more. Because we need to be clear in the gospel of Christ because it is for our protection. That's the emphasis that we're going to look at in Scripture today. The gospel of peace is part of the armor of God. For this reason, we should be prepared to preach the gospel to ourselves, to remind ourselves of that gospel message at all times. Many have said in the past, you should preach the gospel to your own heart every day. You should preach the gospel to your own heart every day. It's not so that every day you will be saved. You're already saved. You're protecting yourself from the schemes of the devil. He loves to lie and tell us that we are not saved. He loves to say that the gospel message is just simply a foolish tale of folly. He says, it is not true, do not believe a lie. But the more we are well-versed in the gospel message, the more difficult it is for Satan to lead us astray. Always be prepared. Always be prepared to stand for the gospel message. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior who died upon the cross to save. He's our personal Savior, affirmed by the gospel and presented clearly in Scripture. And the Word of God is true and it shall never fail. So be saved. Be proclaiming. and be protected. Those are the three aspects of the gospel message. It's really, this last one is emphasized most in this passage. You may think this passage is preparing you to go out and give the gospel, but what it's saying is you should be giving the gospel to yourself all the time. Be reminding of what God has done for you through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So we were talking about that armor, and the armor of God is effective because it is empowered by God. It's not empowered by itself, it's empowered by God. It would be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the armor of God. So we have, first it talks about the power of God, then it talks about the schemes and the authority that that Satan has in this world to be misleading us. And then it speaks of the armor, and each piece of the armor. And we speak of the pieces of the armor, but there's one armor of God. And this armor of God is to have all of these aspects of it, which are really so wonderful. So first let me say something about this peace. The peace that is addressed here in this verse, and it says, verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It says here that you are reminding yourself of this gospel of peace. And the reason why we have peace is because Jesus Christ on the cross reconciled us to God. That word reconciled means that God the Father is brought to peace with all for whom Christ has died. He is at peace. Why is he at peace? Well, because that leads to the other word of propitiation, because God poured out his eternal wrath upon his eternal Son to secure our eternal forgiveness. Our sin was imputed to Jesus Christ, so he took our sin upon himself. God poured out his wrath and judgment until there's no more wrath and there's no more judgment. That's why we are forgiven, because our sin and death is paid in full by Jesus Christ in our place for us. That's the wonder of our salvation. The salvation is a work. We are saved by works. It's just not our works. It's the work of Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ in bringing God so that God is at peace. And you may think, because of your life and at times in your life when you have maybe a poor performance as a Christian. I don't know exactly what a poor performance of a Christian is, but you look at yourself and you say, you know, I'm really not living the way that I know I should because I'm a Christian. I'm not doing the things that I should be doing. And I don't even measure up to my own expectations of what I should be like. And then I think, well, if I'm not satisfied with how I'm living as a Christian, God certainly is not satisfied with me. And then the Bible says, remember the gospel. Be preaching the gospel to yourself. Because God is at peace with you. So, oh no, I think he's mad at me. Because I have done some things that are wrong. Preach the gospel to your heart every day, because God is at peace in Christ. And when God looks at us, you might think that he looks at us in all of our weakness and infirmity and sinfulness, even as Christians. But God looks at us as we are in Christ. So when you sin and you think, I can't go and confess my sins to God again. I've gone again and again and again and again. I just can't keep going to him and asking him to forgive me. Remember, he's at peace. He paid for all of our sins. I'm not encouraging you to sin. You don't need any encouragement to sin. We don't need any encouragement to sin, but I'm certainly not saying that you can go out and sin because you are covered. But I am saying that the God who puts the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we want to live for him, even though we have our sinful flesh still until Jesus comes, and then it will be removed, we will be glorified. But even though we sin, we stand before a God who is reconciled at the cross. And every time you go into his presence, he looks at you as one who is fully forgiven, fully righteous in Jesus Christ, a child of God, the Son of God, a place of special privilege, and he welcomes you every single time into his presence. That's the gospel message. That's why you need to preach it to yourself. So this is, salvation is eternal peace with God. You're not going to have peace with God. You already have peace with God. That's not a future hope. It's a present possession. And we walk in that. And we comfort our own hearts at the cross. We're always looking at the cross. It's always good to know that we never get far away from the cross of Jesus Christ. We're always looking back on what God has accomplished, what's finished. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the whole of our salvation is finished. That's wonderful truth. But sinners don't have peace. So I'm going to talk about now why it is that sinners don't have peace. I'm going to just give you several reasons, which you know I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But you might say, why is it that sinners are so hostile to Christianity? Why are they so hostile to God? Why is it that this world has a hatred for the things of Christ? You say, well, that's kind of strong. Well, I'll tell you a number of reasons why that's true. The first is what we talked about in Romans 1 through 3, that God witnesses that he exists to every heart. God witnesses to every heart. Doesn't matter if you're in the jungle of Portland, Oregon, or the jungle of South America, or the jungle of Africa, or wherever you are, God witnesses to every heart. He says, I exist. I am God. And that's what Romans says. That's a witness that he makes to all. The second thing is, he gives everyone a conscience. So he witnesses that there is right and there is wrong. And when you do wrong, the conscience goes off. And so you know right and wrong, the basic elements of right and wrong. But it's inward. It's what God puts in this conscience that he gives to us. So we have the knowledge of God that he exists, and we have the knowledge of right and wrong, and then we find out we do the wrong things, and the conscience goes off, and then there's this warning that God gives, he puts in every person, of the judgment to come. So we know there's a God, we know there's right and wrong, we do the wrong things, and we know there's a judgment to come, and we don't like it. I don't want to have a judgment to come. Don't tell me that I'm a sinner and I'm guilty before God and that there's a judgment to come. That's one reason why the world is unhappy. Second thing is, the Bible talks about our spiritual condition. It says we are lost, blind, and dead. Lost, blind, and dead. Lost and cannot find the way. Blind and cannot understand the truth. And dead and cannot make ourselves alive. Our situation is helpless and hopeless. That makes us mad too. We don't like to be in a helpless, hopeless condition, but that's what the Bible says we are. So God witnesses his truth to us, and then we're lost, blind, and dead. We don't get it, and we can't get it. And then the Bible goes on to describe us with a number of terms, like he says in Scripture, God says in Scripture, we are corrupt in every part of our being. Every part of our being has turned away from God. That's the sinner. And we're alienated from God. We're separated from God. We're spiritually dead. That spiritual part of us is the part that it connects with God. So our connective part, our antenna for God things, is broken. It's dead. So we're alienated from God. The Bible says we're in rebellion against God. Adam and Eve were in rebellion of God. We've all been in rebellion of God. And then it says we're hostile to God. and hostile to the things of God. Further, we are enslaved to sin and death. And all of this makes sinners unhappy. And there's then the consequence of sin, because sin always promises you everything and gives you nothing. Just remember that. It promises you all kinds of joy, all kinds of happiness, all kinds of a future. It promises everything, and it gives you nothing at all. In fact, it gives you sorrow and grief. All the way back in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, there's some great statement that is, it says, but the wicked, speaking about the wicked, these are people that are not saved, as is all this passage, what I've talked about is talking about. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet. Its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. So that's the reason for the animosity of the world. I'm never surprised that the world treats Christianity with a special animosity. You should never be surprised at that. We're grieved at that, but don't be surprised, because that's the condition of the natural man. The natural man is not just some neutral person living upon the earth. The natural man is someone who is already apart from God, hostile to God, alienated from God, lost, blind, and dead. He knows there's a God, knows there's right and wrong, knows there's a judgment come. He doesn't want any of that. And that's where the gospel of peace comes. The gospel of peace. Because there's no hope in man. That's one of the things that the Bible does. That's why it's hard to give the gospel message. It's hard for you to give the gospel message, especially to your next door neighbor or someone that you know a little bit about. And it's very difficult to say, did you know that you're a lost sinner, guilty before God, helpless and hopeless, and on your way to hell? You say, well, that's kind of an awkward way to begin a conversation. I say, well, yeah, it certainly is a little awkward to begin that way. But that's what the Bible says. But when you see that it is God, our situation is helpless and hopeless, that's one of the things that helps, by God's grace, to turn us to say, God, is there any hope? Can someone like me, with all of this garbage that is true of my natural being, is there any hope that someone like me could actually be saved? And God said, yes, there is. Yes. Because we have a God who's the God of salvation, who sent his Son to do the work of salvation in order that we should be saved. And he sent the Holy Spirit to convict us so that we begin to see and understand the truth. It causes us to be born again so that we can see the truth. And God told Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom of God, you can't see or enter the kingdom of God until you're born again. So this working of God that he accomplishes in us so that we see that. And this passage goes all the way back to Isaiah 52, verse 7, when it says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. It's a wonderful thing. This sort of puts the kingdom and salvation together in this verse, but it's to say how wonderful it is to have the one who comes from God and says there's hope. From God, who says he is the one who saves. In Romans 10, verse 15, another one that's connected to this verse as well. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. He's talking about the bringing of salvation. So now we come to this passage. And we said there's three things about the gospel message. One, it was preached to us to see the God who saves, the God who gives us peace. So it's what brought us into the saving grace of God's salvation. And it's what we are to tell other people. But then there's this passage here that talks about, and it's something that is used to protect you. That's why you preach the gospel to yourself on a regular basis. So he says, have your feet shod. And the way in which it says this, it says be sort of have this finished act of putting your shoes on. The picture of this really is of a soldier putting his armor on. First he takes the belt, then he puts the breastplate on, then he puts his shoes on, then he reaches over and picks up the shield, and then he puts the helmet upon his head, and then he picks up his sword. And this is used, and I'm sure the Apostle Paul saw soldiers putting on their armor because he was in prison and in a place where he would see soldiers and doing that. But that's sort of the putting on process, and he uses the putting on process, but just know that this is a full armor, a full panoply of armor that is the whole armor of God that we wear at all times. But it's just used as putting this on to sort of be the expression of what we are when we become Christians. We put on this whole armor of God, and it includes our feet to put on shoes that don't slip, don't slide, that don't step on the wrong thing. One of the things that helped soldiers in those days is that they have shoes that are sufficient, that they're not worrying about what they're stepping on, because they're worrying about the battle that is on before them. And they're not going to lose their steps because there are cleats or nails that are really put down so that it holds their feet so they don't slip. And the word that's used here when it says, having shod, having put on your sandals, your military sandals that don't slip, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the preparation means to put on the gospel in a state of readiness for coming action. And it's the coming action with the schemes of the devil here in this passage. What is it? The gospel. Well, the good news of Christ, of peace. And peace can be harmony, no disputes, no disruptions, no conflicts, no war. It can mean that in a bigger sense. In small sense, it means peace, health, welfare, prosperity, every form of goodness and happiness. But the essence of what it means is the peace we have with God, the reconciliation at the cross. You should go in prayer and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so glad that you are at peace toward me. I'm so glad that you paid the ransom to save me. I'm glad that you poured out your wrath upon your son in order that I might be forgiven. We're praying to God what God has done. It's a way of saying thank you for what you have done in our salvation. And Lord, help me to wear this truth so that I don't slip. So I don't slide around in my Christian life with reference to the truth that really holds me firm. So you say, well, how am I to be ready for action? I say, well, we should all be ready to preach the gospel to others. We should be ready to preach the gospel to our own self because we know the gospel. I'm going to give you just the basic element of the gospel message. Sometimes when I have opportunity to give the gospel, as I begin, the thought runs through my mind, there's so much to tell. There's so much to tell. Where do I begin? I mean, I can talk about sinners. I can talk about the God who is love. I can talk about Jesus Christ who is love, who comes and gives himself for us and the whole working of the cross. I can talk about salvation by faith. I can talk about salvation by grace. I can talk about not works, not righteousness of our own, but by the mercy of God, he saves us. I can talk about so many things. And like you see, someone I have opportunity to give the gospel, it's like, where do I begin? And there's a sense in which when you think about the gospel message, there's some simple, basic, fundamental truths that I think it's important to speak of. And the first is, and we've already talked about this, but we talk about the first is sin. We have to give an understanding that we are sinners before God, we are sinners dying, and we are accountable to God. In Romans chapter 1 through 3, it says this whole passage in Romans 1 through 3 with all the difficult stuff that is in that text, that it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, we're all without excuse. Why? Well, because of what God witnesses to us. And then in chapter 3, he talks about, and we're all under sin. And this whole sin issue is increased by, there's just, you know, the wages of sin. What you buy with your sin is death. And by the way, Romans 6:23 is written to Christians. It's saying you still have the old sin nature in you, and what you buy with your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what you really bought into. But the wages of sin is always death. Turning your back on God and walking away is always wrong. It's always, so there's a problem. Sin is a problem. Death is a problem. But the good news is that God has solved that problem. And I think when you talk about salvation, you talk about sin, you have to talk about Christ. Sometimes when I talk to people and I say, are you a Christian? They can explain to me that they're a Christian, never mentioning Christ. I don't think the Apostle Paul could do that. I don't think we should be able to do that. Because our salvation is at the cross. That's where the work was accomplished. It seems you have to talk, if you're going to talk about salvation, you have to talk about Jesus Christ as being the Son of God and the Savior that he is. And it's wonderful to know that it's at the cross that our salvation was secured. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he, speaking of God, God made you alive together with Christ, with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he, God, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, and our sins were imputed to Jesus Christ, it's the whole of this sin, death, guilt, shame, the whole of it is there, and God pours out his wrath upon his Son until he is at peace. That's wonderful truth. It's wonderful truth to be able to say, I have peace with God. I have peace with God. He has forgiven my sins, past, present, and future. He has forgiven my sins. He has paid to set me free from sin and death, which we're in this process. The set free was obtained at the cross. We are justified, where God declares us righteous before in the righteousness of Christ, and yet we walk in this Christian life. God could do all of this at one time. For the sinner on the cross that believed on the other cross, that believed Jesus Christ, his salvation did not take place with being justified and then a lifetime of being sanctified and then being glorified. That glorified is yet to come for all of us. Only Christ is glorified today. But for the sinner on the cross, Jesus said to him, today you shall be with me in paradise. So his sanctification was about that long. His justification was immediate. But he had just a little time on the cross to be sanctified. That's his lifetime. We live a long lifetime, and this sanctification is to be made more like Christ and less like this world. It's to be more Christ-like, conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. This process is going on in us. And most people, when they talk about that, say, well, it seems like God is too slow in that process in my heart. And I say, we're always feeling that way. It should be, we're growing. We're growing more and more and more to be more like Jesus Christ, because that's what he paid for in full at the cross. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, is encouraging Christians that they found the one sacrifice that really matters is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Don't turn away from it, the writer of the Hebrews is saying. For by one offering, he, Jesus Christ, has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Our justification, our sanctification, our glorification, it's what he accomplished for us. It's Christ. And even in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood. We have been paid the price, paid the ransom to set us free. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. The grace of God lavished upon us. So it seems you, if you're going to talk about the gospel message and if you're going to preach the gospel to your own heart, you remember what you were was as a sinner and what Christ has done for us at the cross. It's a wonderful truth to come in and see that transformation and to be stunned and amazed at that. When you're giving the gospel to someone, you're giving the gospel of that message. But this giving the gospel to yourself is a protection for you against the schemes of the devil, where he says, and you're not forgiven. You're not a son of God. You're not saved. And you say to that, oh, yes, I am. Because the Bible says that we are sinners and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I've come to the gift, and God says, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast anyone out. So I have come. I love to pray to God and say, God, I've only come to Jesus Christ. That's the only hope of salvation that I have. I have no other hope. That's the only one I've got. And can you save a wretch like me? And he says, always. Always. So you see, you talk about sin, and then you talk about the cross and Christ and salvation. And then you talk about how that is received. So it's first, we are sinners. Second, Christ is the Savior. The third part is, how do you get it? How do you receive this? Do you do good works? Well, the Bible says no. Do you pay money for it? No, the Bible says no. Do you go to someone here upon the earth who can give it to you? No one can give it to you. Well, where do you get it? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 2 again. Let me just read this because it's such a great message. Because this is sort of the gospel message in one passage. Verses 1 through 3 talk about sin. It talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's who is leading you. I didn't even mention that about sinners, but that's what it says here. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you walked. This is the walking dead. Walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, the world, the devil, and the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That's who we were. By nature, the children of wrath. Why? Because we are under the wrath of God for being the children who are walking according to the world, the devil, and our own sinful flesh. But God. And it doesn't say, but you. It doesn't say, but me. It says, but God. It doesn't say, I figured it out. Someone gave me the gospel message, and I said, that's for me, I figured it out. Well, this tells you that's going on behind the scenes. It tells us what's really going on with reference to God, because our salvation is a but God experience. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You ever notice that that's all about God? It's but God. But God saved us. Well, how did he do it? Well, it tells you in that passage. He joined us to Christ. He unified us with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that Christ did, he did for you. So then he says, well, how is that received? It's a gift. It's free. Imagine that. It wasn't free for Christ on the cross. That's a hard work that he accomplished with God pouring out his eternal wrath upon his eternal Son. That's a great work. It's a hard work. It's a difficult work. It's a work that we can't do. It's a work that only Christ can do. It's a gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of the works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The good works are good, but they come after we're saved, not before we're saved. There's no good work that can ever save you. Not being good, not doing good, it never helps you. What helps you is Christ. And you receive that by faith. Faith, what do you mean faith? Believing that he is the Son of God who's come down to die upon the cross and accomplish salvation. I'm believing that he did that for me. It's one thing to say that Jesus is God, he comes down, he died on the cross. It's another thing to say the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is mine. It's my shepherd, I shall not want. So you receive it. You say, God, you sent Jesus Christ to die for me, and I'm believing that he is my Savior, and he is your Son, my Savior. Will you save me? And God gives all kinds of passages where he says, well, you know, when you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. That's really the calling of God. We give the call, but the call that God gives is even a stronger call. Jesus said when he was here upon the earth, I have not come to call righteous men, if there is such a thing, righteous men, but sinners to repentance. So he calls us to repent. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I might give you rest. Depends on how good you do it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and the load is right. Some people take that yoke to mean a yoke of two, a yoke of two, which is the most common kind of yoke. And here you are, you put the yoke on, and then you suddenly look over and Jesus is in the other yoke. That's sort of the way it's described here in this passage. All you are weary and heavy laden with life, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You say, well, Christianity is a huge yoke to take upon us. Yeah, really? With Christ. With Christ who takes it upon himself. And then Christ who walks through the Christian life with us. So we look at it and you say, this is, if you're going to have the gospel message, you need to talk about being a sinner. You need to talk about the cross and the love of God and the Christ. That's why I said there's so much to talk about. There's all kinds of things. I could go on and on about this. And then we say, you need to, you're saved by faith. How you get this, it's a free gift. And you must call, you must answer the call. You must respond. It's not just hearing the gospel message. It's hearing the gospel message and saying, it's my message. It's for me. It belongs to me. And remember, this is the gospel message that you believed. I was 8 years old when I was saved. 8 or 9 years old, I think somewhere around in there. I know where I was, and so I know a little bit. And I know the time that I believed. And all I really understood was that I was a sinner, that Jesus Christ died to save sinners like me. He He's the Son of God. He is the Savior. And my hope was that it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I couldn't have told you a whole lot about the work of Christ on the cross. I couldn't tell you about propitiation, reconciliation, redemption. I couldn't tell you about imputation. I couldn't tell you about substitution. I couldn't tell you about all of the wonders of what Jesus Christ had done. But I knew the essential elements of the gospel message, and I knew as a sinner, I knew that he's the Savior, and I know he's the Son of God, and I know that God saves me, and I'm saved by believing in him. That's such a simple message. It's a wonderful message. And it's your message if you're a Christian. And you should preach it to your heart every day. You should get up in the morning and say, I'm so glad that I get up this morning, and I'm so glad that I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm so glad that I'm fully forgiven. I'm so glad that I am righteous before you, Father. I'm so glad for all that you've given to me. And I always like to say, and then after that, the rest of your day goes, it's downhill, downhill for there. But what a wonderful thing it is to know who you are, know who you are in Jesus Christ. And that provides protection, that when you are in the battle, your feet are not going to slip and you fall down in the battle. Because you believed in that message to be saved, and you ought to be prepared to give the message to others. I think it's a good thing to think through the gospel message. And you say, well, I'm not a good speaker. I can't do that. I said, if you know how you are saved, you can tell others how to be saved. And by the way, I think it's easier, as far as the offense of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to give the gospel message from your perspective. This is a recommendation. I'm not telling you this is how you have to do it. You don't have to do this. Sorry. But when you give the gospel message, it's very easy to say, well, let me tell you how I was saved. Let me tell you about the gospel message of how God saves sinners. But let me tell you the gospel. I saw that I was a sinner. I saw my situation as helpless and hopeless. I saw that I was angry with God and hostile to God, and my life it was a mess. And I saw all of these things about me, and then I saw the cross of Jesus Christ. And you can say, I saw that God sent his Son because of his love and the love of the Son for us, but God in love sent us because of his mercy, and he died on the cross to save us from our sins. And there's a transaction between Father and Son in which full forgiveness is obtained, and then he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And I say to someone, that's my story. What's your story? Because just hearing my story is not enough. You have to believe that for yourself. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. But I'm just saying, if you come from the perspective of saying, this is what happened to me, people can look at you and go, well, I don't, you know, that's what happened to you. So big deal, it's not mine. But then you say, but that's your story too. I mean, you need that to be your story, to see that we're all sinners. And we need to be saved by the God of mercy. And he saves us in Jesus. And he saves us by Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You can give the gospel message in a few short words, or you can give it in a long story. I always say, if someone came to me and said, I'd like you to give me the gospel, I said, you want the 3-minute gospel, you want the 10-minute gospel, or you want the 5-hour gospel? I can give you either one of those. So I'm happy to talk about the things that Christ has done. But it's wonderful that God has given us this gospel message to save us, so that we give it to others, and also so that we repeatedly remind ourselves and we give it to ourselves as a part of our protection for the schemes and the wiles of the devil that he comes after us. Here in this passage, it's emphasizing that last part most of all. It's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. May it never be that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our message. And that should be a message for our own souls. So I pray that you will remind yourself daily of the gospel message. Be prepared to give the gospel message. Another thing you can do, and this is just a suggestion, you can put in the front of your Bible a 3x5 card with some verses on it that after you give the message, if you have opportunity to give a message to someone, you can pull out your 3x5 card and give it to them and say, here's some things to think about of what we talked about. Sin, the cross of Christ, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. Just a very simple way of giving this gospel, but give it to yourself. It's for your protection. Part of the armor of God. It's amazing that God would mention this. And most people, when they read this passage, think that this preparation for the gospel of peace is that we go forth and give the message to others. That's true, but not true here. Here it's talking about giving it to yourself again and again and again and again. You can never hear the gospel message too much. May God bless our hearts with that truth. But let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are thankful for you and the sending of your Son in order to save us. We were sinners. He's the Savior. He's your Son. We are saved at the cross. Great work is accomplished, and it's a gift. And we receive it by grace. We can't work for it. We can't be for it. We must receive it. It's a gift from you to us, received by faith. And Lord, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God and our Savior. Bless that truth to our hearts, and may it be blessed to our hearts on a daily basis. May ever be preaching the word to our own souls for our own protection. We pray your blessing to be upon us, and we thank you again and again and again and forever for the love and the salvation that you have so freely given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.